Jenna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jenna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place. Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to Happy Hour here on K104. We have returned on another Sunday morning, and we have a Jenna Spilbor, and we have a Carol Pesci.
I'll take one Jenna Spilbor.
I'll take one Carol Pesci.
And we are back. So, ladies, how are we doing today? We all good?
I'm doing good, but you're friend over here is crazy.
Yes, apparently, Jenna, you have an issue this week.
Oh,
fine. Surprise.
Crazy. No, this one's for reals. Crazy and cranky. I hurt myself. And that makes me cranky.
You hurt yourself.
Yes.
How'd you hurt yourself?
So, this is so stupid. Well, okay. I broke a toe. But I broke it the least important toe. I broke my pinky toe. And I posted on Facebook. I'm like, I broke my least important toe. It was the one that screamed like a little witch the whole way home, which is exactly what I did after I broke my pinky toe.
It hurts when you can whack a toe like that.
Well, here's the thing. So I did a little. I had some time while I was almost puking in pain after it happened. To analyze myself. And I said, self. Okay, so first let me just tell you. You know, like when you stub a toe on a piece of furniture, like you're just not expecting it.
I think you are not like a human being full-fledged until you've done it.
Until you've done it a couple dozen times over the course of your life. And ordinarily what happens is you stub a toe, you curse, you hold it for a minute, you jump up and down, and then within, you know, 45 seconds, the throbbing subsides and you kind of go back to life as it was before you stubbed the toe. So this time was slightly different in that, you know, walking in my abode and my foot hit a piece of furniture, the same piece of furniture. It's been exactly where it has been forever. My foot hits it. I go down. I go down like I just got sacked and I'm the quarterback. Like, boom. And it's like really, really hurting. And I immediately said to myself, self, this is not just your average stubbage. This is something much worse.
Does a show ever go by, Frankie Berry, that there isn't at least one made up genre word?
No.
We need to start keeping track.
Yes, we should.
Let's write this down. Stubbage.
And so, then we'll come out with a book.
Yes, yeah. Of Jonaism.
And
yes.
Definitions.
So, instead of like jumping up and down like you normally would when you stub a toe, I stayed on the ground like a little girl. And I actually did feel like I was going to puke. Right? So now a little time goes by and I go into this mode of like self-actualization. Like, you know, when you're about to die and your whole life flashes before your
eyes. Frankie Berry, how did I know that this little stub toe was going to turn into I almost died?
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Exactly. And then what she did after that was she looked up on WebMD stubbed toe, possibly/broken toe. And she found out that if you let that go, you will die.
You can get an infection. But I'm not there yet.
Okay.
So I'm debating whether I should text my family and loved ones like you guys and just say, I love you. It's been really nice. You know, I'm sorry that I'm going in this horrible, horrible way. But I got a grip and I said, Jenna, okay.
I'm not rolling my eyes, but keep going.
You regularly and voluntarily have your face stabbed repeatedly with needles.
And poison.
Yes, that you do.
And sometimes you do that with zero numbification or Novocaine. And I do it like it's my job. And I finish, and I hop in my car, and I pray I don't get pulled over because I look like a bloody pincushion. And I go home. I have a glass of wine. It's all good in the hood. But here I am, writhing in pain on my bedroom floor because I accidentally kicked my shoe bench. And my whole life is flashing before my eyes. I'm going to puke? I'm going to puke over this? Oh, heck no.
Did it seriously make you that sick to your stomach?
Wow. It was so painful. It actually did. And that was the first time for everything. So anyway, long story short.
Or to make a short story long.
The pukage factor was what made me realize, I'm like, this isn't just a normal thing. And then all of a sudden, my little toe turned like bright, bright red. Now it's a nice shade of like, it's maroon. It's almost like Merlot, but then I've got a big...
Merlot toe.
I have a big, like, 3x3 squarish circle of green that emanates out into my whole foot. But I did Google the broken toe. There's nothing you can do. Tape it. Tape it and move on.
I was going to say, did you field dress it with a splint?
No.
Here's something wise you can do when you break your toe. No, you don't bother going to the doctor because they're not going to do anything with it. They're not going to set it. But you do choose to wear flats so you don't aggravate the injury. And I hope your mother's listening.
Well, thank you, Rat Fink Pesky. No, to be honest with you, it hurts whether it's flat or whether it's not. So I'm opting for style over health and comfort.
Yeah, which look, we already know that you will wear heels no matter what. You will find a reason to justify yourself wearing those heels no matter what. So now, with the possibility of a broken pinky toe, you're saying to yourself, you know what? It seems to hurt just as bad as flats with heels. So thus, I can wear the heels and deal with the pain because I would have the pain in the flats. But I can. I'm probably going to guess it hurts a little bit less in the flats. You just don't want to admit it out loud.
Has to.
You both are wrong, except you're wrong with a caveat. At least in the flats, I can kind of, when I walk, I can go like heel, foot, because they're flat. In the heels, I got to go toe. Yeah, but you know what? But this is the other thing I said to myself. Again, I had a moment where I think this
self-reflection
was a life-changing
floor.
Experience. Yes. And I said, there are people in the world who have it much, much worse than I do. What?
Nothing. I'm just thinking it is certainly for John Spielberg, it is without a doubt a life-changing experience. So please go on, though, about the people who have things a little bit worse than you somewhere else in the world.
I like, even when I'm posting my post, I'm like, this is so stupid. People have actual things that are, you know, terrible. I stubbed my toe and my whole life flashed before my eyes. So I just got a grip. It'll be all right in a week. The thing I am bummed about, in all seriousness, is I can't get on the treadmill. Like, I tried to get on the treadmill the next day. That was not happening.
Why don't you go to the Y into a public swimming pool and get your exercise that way?
Oh, public swimming pool? Yeah. I'll do that right after I get my nails dipped with powder.
Yeah, and then use the ladies' room when you're done with the swimming pool.
Oh, yeah. And then I'll make sure I sit on the seat, too.
You're going to take a shower barefoot in their shower.
Yeah, that's
definitely
a good idea.
Definitely
let
me do that.
After that.
Yeah.
I'm thinking now may be the time that you break out your... you know, your little infinities thing, your little rubber infinity symbol, and maybe just start figuring out how to exercise with it.
I can't do that now. I need my toes for that.
Oh, okay.
My toe goes, you think.
My toe goes right
in. You don't
even
know how to use it.
I know. But when I do use it, whether it's correctly or incorrectly, my little toe goes in the hole.
Frank Mary, I think we need to come up with different scenarios and then just have her tell a story around it. Like, as a...
If this happened to you scenario, or this most probably has happened to you, recall the experience.
Take something very simple. For instance, and we already know she has a story for this.
Just
you
say,
rolled the garbage out to the street.
Which
we know she hasn't. But and then you just see how long it takes her to tell that and how embellished that story becomes.
Right. Now, that particular story, in case anyone's curious, the Jonna rolling the garbage out to the street story, she actually put four neighbors, 12-year-old boys, through puberty when she did that.
Because she was wearing.
Yes.
But can forget sometimes.
Now,
you know.
we can also say... I stepped out of the car.
Oh, but wait, she's already got a story for that one, too.
And there is the next
Jonna
story.
On Fifth Avenue, and the dress flew open in the wind.
That is correct.
So there's that.
My alarm went off.
I got one for that.
You ain't got one for that? Yes, you do.
You got to create one. That's my point.
You fell out of bed.
Oh, that's right. I did fall out of bed. I had a second.
You were dropped out of bed.
Right, by a poltergeist.
Mm-hmm.
I had a second backwards clothing story that happened in the last couple weeks that I forgot.
And you
to
haven't
tell
told
you.
Us?
I forgot.
What is wrong with you?
All right, so
tell
back,
me.
Back right. when I wasn't crippled.
The first backwards story, by the way, backwards clothing story crippled. Before Jonna wasn't crippled, mm-hmm. Was that actually happened in a court of law, just in case you're it curious.
Oh, the first one did,
yes. The first one, she was wearing her dress backwards and did not notice until she was about halfway through the trial. So that is the first backwards clothing story, again, before she was crippled.
Yeah.
But now here is the new backwards clothing story.
Do you think you can get a handicap sticker for next week or two?
Oh, that's an excellent idea.
You're being yelled at right now, by the way. There are a lot of people on the other side of this radio saying, okay, now you're crossing the line, people.
No, they were playing.
If I get a handicap sticker? Okay, so you want to know what happened?
Should we
take
a vote whether she's handicapped or not? All right, go.
I don't like that vote. Okay. So I was going to the gym. This is when I had my full capacity and was able to exercise like a normal
full
human being. So it was just a couple weeks ago, and I put on my they're not yoga pants. They're like running, spandex. You know, like people go to the gym like spandex, like capri spandex.
Like Olivia Newton-John spandex?
Oh no.
with leg warmers and a headband?
No, yeah.
And some bad 80s music in the background?
No, shoulder pads?
They're like capris, but they're,
yoga pants.
They're yoga pants, but the other yoga pants I have like bell bottoms. These are not. These are
okay, gotcha.
These just go below your knee.
Got it.
And they're, rubbery, whatever.
We got the image.
Anyway, all right. Rubbery. So I put those on, put my running bra on, put my t-shirt on. I go down to the gym. I get on the treadmill, and there's mirrors behind you on the treadmill. And for some reason, I looked behind me.
And you could read your shirt.
I look behind me, and I'm like, something's wrong. And then I look down in front of me, and my running pants have the emblem on the back. So when I looked in the mirror, there was no emblem. And when I looked down front, I'm like, oh no! Right? But now these pants are like tight enough where I know if I go into the locker room, I'm gonna have to take off my sneakers and then I have to take them off, turn them around, put them back on, put my sneakers back on. I ain't got that kind of time. So I did the math and I was like, all right. I go now, they are looking a little baggy in the front, like it gave me a. Where your butt's supposed to be is now the front. So I had a little wiggle room there.
You've had that happen before, the reverse camel toe.
Yeah. And then in the back, they were a little bit lower than they normally are because for some reason, the back of my running pants must come up a little bit over my kadunky dunk.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, all right, here's what I'm going to do.
Kadunky dunk.
Kadunky dunk. So I'm just going to start running. And if they stay up, I'm good. And if they start to come down, then I'll go in the locker room. I'll flip them around. And wouldn't you know, it's like the princess and the pea. They stayed up, but I knew the whole time that something was wrong. And it ruined my run.
Were you actually able to jog and not have them fall off?
They didn't fall off.
They creeped.
They didn't feel as comfy cozy as they normally do. But so I was self-conscious the whole run.
Well, thank God this
was. So that's it then?
Where was the guy that was videotaping you last time? Thank God he wasn't there that day.
Thank God he wasn't there.
Well, first of all,
did you want a big finish? Did you want my pants down around my knees?
No, we're kind of used to big finishes around here, Spielberg. The last time you told a story like this, some of your private parts were frozen. That's a big ending, okay? This ending where you go, so I jogged, but the whole time, I was conscious of it. Seriously? That's where this ends?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, you're supposed to, like Carol said, have somebody videotaping you and possibly have your spandexies, fall down to your knees or something like that accidentally. That's how it's supposed to end with a Spielberg story.
I'm looking at this as, maybe the heavens were being benevolent and they're like, we'll let her leave her pants up so she can enjoy her run. Maybe that happened. Maybe I had a little bit of good luck. Did you ever think of that?
Would you tell us if they fell down?
I probably would.
Well, of course you would.
I would like to know the exact time frame in between when things happen to you, and they're usually embarrassing,
mm-hmm.
or you embarrass yourself,
mm-hmm.
in between that mm-hmm. and you realizing this is going to be good for the show.
3 seconds, usually. pretty much.
Yeah, that's kind of like me with, okay, mental note, blog.
Right.
You know, something just happened. This is definitely going to go in the blog.
Yeah. And it's good. You know, I'm glad life happens because it gives us stuff to talk about. And look, we have long said since day one, whenever that day was at this point, I can't even remember. You have to be able to laugh at yourself, and life is supposed to be fun.
You're good at right. that.
I mean,
and
seriously.
We're good at laughing at her.
Yes,
so,
yes.
So
and I'm all right being laughed at by yous guys. Not by everybody. Just by yous guys.
Just by us guys?
Can I just ask a question that's completely off topic right now?
Sure.
Just because in front of me, I'm, you know, the cardinal sin in a studio is to have liquid, but I was
You're
really
some
thirsty.
Distance from the board, so.
I am. So, Frankenberry, you are let's call you a seltzer connoisseur, yes?
I've tried many different seltzers, yes, and that's pretty much all I drink. Well, until I get home, then it's beer.
Well, seltzer's not bad for you. I think seltzer's good.
Well, seltzer's good, yeah. I think seltzer has done wonders for me.
Have you ever had the pomegranate lemonade?
No, I stay away from anything that isn't lemon or lime, because most of them give me heartburn.
Okay. Smart man. I'm just going to go on record as saying the pomegranate lemonade version of this Poland Spring seltzer that I am drinking tastes like what I imagine baby poop tastes like if you were to consume it.
Oh,
can I
that's
smell
pleasant.
It?
Yeah, it's not going to, I don't think it's going to smell.
It smells like bubblegum.
And it's not, and I wish it tastes like that. And this, it's not like this is an errant bottle. It's every time I try it, I'm like, I'm going to try it again. I'm going to try it again. And every time I'm like, nope.
Why do you keep doing it?
And just to let you folks out there know, another thing here is that Jonna awkwardly put that into our dialogue here as she is endorsing the product.
I will endorse every other flavor. I am a subscriber. I've tried every flavor. I love them all. I just can't get into this one. That's like, did you ever have a lifesaver that you
didn't? Why do you keep going back for more punishment?
Because you know what happened? I don't. I normally, so we don't order this. And I have one of my staff came in with a case. And she plops it down. She's like, we ordered way too much at home, so I'm bringing it in. And I said to myself, she knows what I know. She's just not going to say it. She's not going to say that nobody in her family will drink this.
So she brought.
But she didn't want to waste it. And I didn't want to waste it. That's why I'm drinking it.
Okay.
The
enough.
End.
Yeah. Try a little rum in there. See how that does.
Oh, yeah. That'll fix this. All right.
All right. Who do we got today, Ms. Spielberg?
All right, so this is interesting. I love when we have guests like this because I think, you know, everybody is always wanting to better themselves. And we have he's a best-selling author, a syndicated radio host. So he's going to give us a little competition. And he's an expert in courage. He's the author of the book, The Courage to Change Everything, Daily Strategies and Essential Wisdom to Awaken Your Inner Genius. His name is Ken D. Foster. And he is going to be with us right after our break.
All right, that sounds good. You've got Happy Hour here again on this Sunday morning with Jonna Spielberg and Carol Pesci, and we will return with our guest.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Live better, laugh harder. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And we're back again here with Happy Hour with Jonna Spielberg and Carol Pesci. And it's time now to get to our guest this morning. And we've got Ken D. Foster with us. And I think we're going to be talking about courage. Is that correct?
Yes. And I can't wait to talk to him. So on the line with us today, we have not only a best-selling author and syndicated radio host in over 100 countries.
It's kind of a big deal.
But Ken D. Foster is an expert on courage and helps people redefine themselves through courageous living. He will challenge you to think differently and see the unseeable. I love this. Know the unknowable and do the impossible. He is the author of The Courage to Change Everything, Daily Strategies and Essential Wisdom to Awaken Your Inner Genius. Ken D. Foster, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. Appreciate it.
Right. So I have been excited knowing that you were going to be our guest today for like the last week. And I want to jump right in. So let's start here. What makes you an expert in courage?
Well, I guess I started as a courageous kid and really didn't understand what courage was about at the time. For me, when I was young, it was about taking risks. So it was courage without a purpose, courage, without any kind of real rationalization, realization. So it got me in a lot of trouble. But at the same time, I experienced things that other people didn't experience on a consistent basis. And as a result of that, I tuned into that courage and turned that courage into courage with wisdom and courage with understanding and became a leader in the community. So I've been doing this for the last 24 years talking about this.
All right, so not a short period of time, but maybe we should figure out, because I don't know, like the three of us sitting around this table, we might have a different definition of courage. So what is courage, right? If we're going to explain courage to people, what is courage?
Yeah. When most people think of courage, they think about somebody, first responder running into a building, right, or helping somebody, with a mass shooting or something. And sure, that is a form of courage. But the courage that I like to talk about is the inner courage. And courage comes from the Latin word cur, C-O-U-R, which means to speak one's heart. So it really has to do with tuning into our gut instincts, our wisdom within ourselves, and really kind of looking at different areas of our life that may not be working for us. I mean, it takes courage, for instance, if you've got a relationship that's not working. Sometimes it takes courage to admit you're wrong. Sometimes it takes courage to say you're sorry. Sometimes it takes courage to let go of that relationship and move into one that really works for you. So courage, the way I define it, is a feeling. It's a you can feel it, you can actually hear it, you can see it, you can sense it. And courage is always a state of being and a choice that we make.
You know what, Ken, this is Carol. What I like about talking about the topic of courage, and my dear friend Jonna here loves to say be fearless, and she, I admire her courage in many aspects of her life. But when someone says you be fearless, it's almost like, so if you feel fear, then you are failing because you feel fear. And I think courage defines it better, that having courage doesn't mean you're not feeling fear. It means with purpose, you are acting, right?
It does. And I would say, you know, we all have fear. Everybody has fear. Come on. Right. Let's get real. You know, I sometimes show up in radio shows and I go, oh my gosh, I'm feeling it, right? And, you know, I can sometimes reframe that into excitement, but truly it's fear. But courage is the bridge between fear and power, or fear and love, or fear and wisdom. It's a bridge. And when we step into it, let me define it this way, Carol. You know, when you're fearful, you know what fear feels like in your body, right? Your mm-hmm. heart might palpitate mm-hmm. a little yeah. faster. Yeah. You might start, your mind might start shutting down because you're not thinking properly. You know, it's that fight or flight. You know, your blood starts, you know, pouring into the center of your body. And, you know, so anyway, that's fear. You can feel it. Well, courage, you can feel too. Courage has a sense. If you tune in, like if I ask you one question, if I was courageous, what would I do today? If I was courageous, what would I do today? If you just tune into that just for 1 second and ask yourself that question, you will start to feel a sense of expansion in your body. You'll actually feel it. Your mind will start expanding. You'll feel a sense of power. And then, of course, you know, you might start to take actions towards that and feel fear, okay? But then you step back into courage. But courage has a feeling,
When you were talking about that it's a feeling before, and you started saying, okay, when you feel fear and what happens, and like with your blood flow, immediately my thought was, well, fear feels restrictive, constrictive, tightening, and courage, when I think of if I was going to feel courage, it would feel expansive, which is what you just said.
You got it. You got it. Exactly. So why wouldn't we want to feel expansive every day? I think we do. But I think what happens is a lot of times is that we hit a circumstance in our life. You know, maybe it's you start a new business. That'll give you something to do. You start a new business, and all of a sudden, all the unknowns go. All the fears are, you know. But basically, it's you're walking into the unknown. Maybe we do that in a relationship or in a new career or in any number of areas. But with courage, when you walk into the unknown, you don't have a sense of being necessarily fearless, but you have a sense of feeling, I can do this. I'm going to handle this. I'm going to step into this. That's why courage is so important right now in everything we're doing, especially in our society. We need more courage, and not courage from a place of maybe using courage to tear down another human being, but real courage is courage that builds ourselves up. When we look at anything that's stopping us, any kind of blocks or anything that's stopping us from expressing our true potential and power.
See, and I was just going to ask you about that. You read my mind. I don't think change, positive change, is possible without some degree of courage. You might need a little bit. Sometimes you need a lot of it. But I think courage is an ingredient that you cannot make improvements in your life without. Maybe I'm wrong. I mean, you're the courage expert, but I think you need that.
You're right. Listen, you know, when it really gets down to the fundamentals, the mind is the cause of our bondage, and the mind is the cause of our liberation. Now, so how do we liberate our mind? Well, we have to step into some courageous thoughts, right? Some courageous ways of showing up and being. So I would challenge the audience right now. If there are, just pick one area of your life that you need more courage in. I don't care what it is. Pick that area and now come up with a list of three action steps, courageous action steps that you could take in the next 24 hours to overcome whatever that is or generate whatever that is. If you will step into that, just play with me. Just do it. Pretend like it doesn't work, but go do it anyway and watch it work. Because courage, again, is a feeling, it's a power, it's a passion, it's something that expands when we step into it on a consistent basis.
And I think you can do that and practice that regardless of the outcome, right? Like,
no, what do you mean?
That,
regardless of the outcome.
That you can, what can I do that's courageous today? What was the question you just asked a minute ago? Like,
what if you were courageous, what would you do today?
And then
what three steps would you do today?
Three things that you can do. So and take action on that. You will build your courage muscle, and you will build your self-confidence simply by acting on it. Whether it brings the end result you want, whether it just, it's like, I did it. I knew that was important,
that, right?
And I took action. And you will.
Let me tell you a story, because you're absolutely right about that. I knew a fella that had a little dot on his arm, just a little dot. You didn't know what it was. It started growing. And my wife happened to see it, and she said, hey, guy, you know, this is cancer. You need to take care of that. And he said, no, it's not cancer. I know, it's something else. So he tried to treat it holistically without seeing an MD for about 2 years. Eventually, unfortunately, this man lost his arm because he was so afraid to go into the medical community. He just wanted to heal it holistically, I guess wanted to prove that it could be. Some things can't. So, you know, if he would have just had that little thing cut out, he would have been fine. But it took courage to go into the unknown of this area that he'd been told his whole life, don't see doctors, don't go there, they're going to hurt you, something's going to happen, you're going to, you know, all they're going to do is medicate you or give you drugs and cut, and you're going to be messed up, right? So it messed with him, right? That belief messed with him. I'm just giving one example. There's a million examples like this where we need to step into our courage. So if there's, and here's the foundation of that. About 99% of things, okay, health issues, challenges in work, challenges with your relationships, challenges in your career, can all be overcome. About 99% of them. But we believe that somehow they can't, or it's going to be with us forever, or we go down a path of lack of wisdom. Where the wisdom's not there, just like the story I just gave you. Mm-hmm. And we don't step into our courage to tune into that wisdom, to tune into the unknown. And as a result, we suffer.
Ken, is that the essence then of your book, The Courage to Change Everything, Daily Strategies and Essential Wisdom to Awaken Your Inner Genius? Is that people will learn how to not just have the courage, but take the steps next, because having it is part one, but you got to do something with that.
Absolutely. So here's the thing. You know, the information in that book didn't come from me. I've organized it in a way that people can use on a daily basis. So it's I want to say it's based on profound wisdom from the East and cutting-edge mind-body science from the West. So what I help people do is every day, just 10 minutes a day, you know, imagine if you submerge your mind into wisdom that has been on our planet for centuries, that you can really tune into that wisdom. You can step into some of the science-based principles of success that we have in our country that made us the greatest country in the world. And you can take daily actions towards your dreams, whatever it be. So I've designed it that way. Every single day, you're dripping on your mind some of that astute wisdom, courageous strategies, and the time-tested wealth principles. And what happens is you get to redefine what's possible for you. In fact, you're going to probably attain what I would call your natural state of greatness if you follow what's in that book every day for, do it for 30 days, see what happens. But do it for a year, watch everything transform in your life.
And one of the things you mentioned there, Ken, and I really want to point out, because it's in the last couple of years become more of a profound topic for me, and that is, I mean, you talked about tapping into universal wisdom, but we each have a brilliance within us, in our intuition, and it comes sometimes in a form of a feeling, and I think we need to develop the courage to communicate with that and trust that you have this brilliance within you, this wisdom that's miraculous, and to slow down a little bit, quiet down, communicate with it, hear it, and trust it. Amazing things can happen just from that.
Well, I've been a meditator for the last couple decades, and I found that any challenge I've ever had, I get the answer in meditation probably 80% of the time.
Wow.
Now, I might get it in walking in the shower, or I might get it in nature, but it's in a place where I've slowed down to be able to succeed.
Yep.
And I'll just say this, the subtitle of the book, because it aligns with what you just said, is Daily Strategies and Essential Wisdom to Awaken Your Inner Genius. All about the inner genius.
Ken, I have a question. I don't know if this is off topic or not, but is courage in any way connected to intuition? And I'll tell you why I'm asking that. Like, I consider myself to be very intuitive.
You are, yes.
And when I'm having, like, there's a small decision that I'm struggling to make right now, and I keep asking myself, I'm like, why am I struggling to say yes or no to this? And I keep trying to figure out why I'm doing it. And on the one hand, I guess I could make the argument, well, maybe there's something I'm fearful of, or I'm not being courageous. On the other hand, I'm like, maybe my intuition is blocking me because it's not a good decision, and that is my answer. Is there a connection between courage and intuition in that sense?
I think for most of us there is, and I'll say why. It's you know, in Western society, we use the rational mind for just about everything, and we basically cut off the intuitive side of ourselves. And it's just starting in the last decade, really, to come into the vogue that the mind is we have a mind, but we're not our mind. We have a body, but we're not our body. And, you know, that intuitive place, there's three levels of consciousness, that there's a consciousness, there's conscious, subconscious, and superconscious. Superconscious states of where we can tune into our inner genius, or another word for that is our intuition. Intuition is, let's say, 98% right. So why wouldn't everybody want to tune into that?
Exactly.
It's because we've been trained. We've been trained that the logical way is the right way. Think it out logically, you know, everything. Very since Socrates on down, right? So I think you're dead on. That courage is tied into it in the United States, because it takes courage to go against the trend of using the rational mind.
Right.
And we find our intuition. I don't know how much time we have, but I'll just say this: my intuition was a direct result of, or developing that was a direct result of listening to my wife. And for a lot of men, we don't want to listen to their wife, right? We think we know it all. So it's like my wife, we'd be driving down the street. She'd say, go left. I'd say, no, the map says it's a lot faster going right. She'd say, go left. and I'd go left, and sure enough, we'd hit traffic for 3 hours. And I did this over and over again enough times that all of a sudden I said, wow, she's really intuitive. I better start learning how to listen to her so I can start tuning into hearing what that intuition is all about. And I did, and not only did our relationship get better, but I developed my inner that intuition through that practice.
It takes practice, and but what's mm-hmm. really cool is the more you do that, and the more you can quiet down that logical mind, and it does play a role. It has value, obviously. And then we can trust that intuition and listen to it and act on it, and you can do that more easily and easily and easily. And it's like, it's amazing. Like, okay, yeah, I'm doing that. That feels right. Where can people buy your, and what's the exact title again there, Johnny? You have
the book? So Ken's book is The Courage to Change Everything, Daily Strategies and Essential Wisdom to Awaken Your Inner Genius. And it just came out, I think, last week, right, Ken?
Yeah, it just came out. Yeah,
you're generously offering a free sample of your book at www.couragetochange.us. Is that right?
That's not exactly right.
No,
they can purchase the book there at couragetochange.us. And on that site right now, if they purchase now, what I'm doing is I'm giving away one of my programs called Release, Renew, Evolve, which is a couple $100 program. It's several audios and a workbook to help people to release any resistance to stepping into their courage. So I'm giving that away for free when they purchase the book, and there's a couple other bonuses there for that. So they can purchase it again at couragetochange.us. I can almost guarantee, in fact, I would guarantee, you know, if you don't get the results in 30 days, if your life doesn't get better, if you practice what that book is just 30 days, then just send it back to me. I'll take it back.
I'm going to take you up on that.
It's a powerful book. It's a great read. So I think it'll move people into action.
Courage to Change. You can find out everything you need to know at couragetochange.us. Ken is also on Facebook at Ken Foster 1, Twitter at Kenneth Foster, Instagram at Ken D. Foster, and LinkedIn and all that good stuff. I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to get the book. I'm going to do the book. And then I'm probably going to call you up and say, I love you even more.
I love that. And I have not put that challenge out there. But listen, just follow it 30 days. And if at the end of 30 days, you are not 100% satisfied and your life didn't get better, send the book back and I'll refund you.
I like it. You heard it here first, folks. Ken Foster, thank you very much for being our guest today.
Well, I want to thank Frank and Barry and all of you for having me on the show. What a great show. Wait, that's awesome.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you for the great work you're doing.
Thanks so much, Ken. We appreciate it. And we've still got more to come here on Happy Hour this morning with John Spilbore and Carol Pesci. Segment number 3 is on the way, so just stick with us. This is K104.
Jenna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Laugh more, stress less. It's Happy Hour with Jenna and Carol.
And we're back again here with Happy Hour one more time this morning in segment number 3 with Jenna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. Hello, ladies.
Hello, Frank and Barry.
So we learned a good bit about courage there from our guest, and he was very good. I enjoyed him.
That's going to be my new favorite word. Because whenever I would hear the word courage, immediately the cowardly lion comes to my mind.
Well, and you know, I know a big phrase of yours, and you have it literally in your apartment, I think both apartments, your house and your apartment, is to be fearless. You say that, yes. Be fearless. But I think there's a distinction, because that might imply that if you feel afraid, there's something wrong with you and you're supposed to be fearless.
Right.
But the distinction of having courage, like it's okay to feel that fear. But have the courage to act anyway for something that's important to you.
Right. And it's all about, you know, everybody can change their life. And I think that's really the gist. Everybody can change their life and be whatever they want to be. And dang, that does take courage. Mm-hmm. But we got it. Mm-hmm. Speaking of, all right, so here's a segue. Speaking of courage, I heard something earlier in the week that I've been dying to ask you guys, just for your opinion.
Okay.
Do you have, and I say courage because I have never had the courage to do what I'm about to ask you if you guys have done and are comfortable with, dining out alone? Yay or nay?
I used to do, well, I used to work for, when I first moved back to New York, I got a job at a restaurant in Cold Spring, and I only had one day off a week. But there was a restaurant in Fishkill, and I lived in Beacon, so I was, you know, right in the middle. But there was a restaurant in Fishkill that I really, really liked. Mm-hmm. And I would go there every Monday by myself. I would buy the newspaper, or I would bring a book, and I would order my favorite steak. Mm-hmm. I'd order a beer. I would read for a little bit. I'd wait till they brought the steak. I would take that to go, and then I would go home. But I would have an appetizer, so I would eat by myself at the bar, read my book.
Or partially.
Yes.
So you're saying you'd have part of your meal alone at the bar.
Yep, and then I would take
the beer.
Then I would take the rest home.
But you're at the bar. Have you ever dined out and at a, you know, party of one, right this way,
yeah.
Mr. Frankenberry?
Yeah, I have no issues with that whatsoever.
You're good with it.
I'm all
good
with it.
What if you didn't have your phone or anything to read?
Well, no, you got to have something to read. I mean, it's not, it's, it, then what?
Is it weird if you just sit there
and
nothing?
I would think that'd be a little awkward.
Yeah, I mean, just sitting there without something to occupy yourself, yes.
Because you're not in conversation with anybody, so you're just looking around the room, looking at your food, looking at your water glass, butter knife.
Yeah, what would you look at? Could you pretend that you're looking at somebody across the table, but nobody's there? Would that be weirder?
That's a good challenge.
It would only be weird for all the other diners.
Isn't that funny? Have you ever dined out?
I don't think that I have. I don't think so.
It's kind of like going to a movie alone. I don't mind going to movies alone
now,
either.
Now, I wouldn't really. I've not done it, but I don't think I'd have a problem doing that because you're there to be entertained. You're looking at the screen. Nobody's
right.
Looking
it's
at
a,
you.
Right. It's a little bit different, but it's still something, doing something by yourself. But yeah, if I've got a book or if I've got the day's newspaper, I got no problem with that whatsoever.
Well, apparently not. So a lot of other people in this day and age don't have a problem doing that. I used to actually, I'm probably less so, although I shouldn't really even talk because I've never dined out alone. But it's one of the things that I will go out of my way to avoid. Like, I could be starving to death. I could be on the floor like, somebody give me sugar before I die.
Here we go.
Right? You could pick me up and carry me to my favorite restaurant where nobody else is in the place but me. And they're like, here, we want you to enjoy your meal. I have no idea.
No, and I also think, what about, would you sit at a bar, have a drink and eat? I think at the bar, because you actually could be, because you can engage with the bartender. You can have a conversation at least.
Well, at the
rather
bar,
than sit down at a table.
You're, you know, it's meant for people. I mean, of course you can go with other people to a bar, but it's kind of meant for the single person. There's, you know, with stool, you're not taking up a whole table. Usually there's going to be some sort of TV around that you can stare at and blindly eat some peanuts or my new favorite.
Community peanut.
Fried olive. Yeah, community peanut. just ruin that. You know, and have a drink. So to me, that's a little bit different. But I have been out. I go out to dinner a lot because you guys know I am culinarily challenged. And I do tend to see.
Narrowly.
I do tend to see people eating by themselves, and it's their plan. They will have a book, they will have a computer, they sit at a table, they order several courses, they don't think they're comfortable looking, and they pay the check.
I would do that if I had a desire to. There's nothing that would prevent me from it, other than, you know, I'm with Craig every weekend, so there's not usually the chance for that.
So,
but to bring a book and go out and enjoy a meal quietly, a glass of wine.
By yourself.
Yeah, I would do it. I wouldn't be afraid to do it. Let me put it that way.
All right. So let's just hypothetically twist it a teeny tiny bit. You're traveling for business. You're by yourself, though. Nobody else that you work with is traveling with you. You're at a hotel. Hotel has a nice restaurant, but it also has room service. You're famished. You're alone. You don't want to be talking to anybody, but you heard the restaurant is amazing.
I would go to the restaurant.
And they don't deliver. So you either have to go there and eat it,
there
or you're
going
to order room service.
Sure.
You'd go to the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Curly Pesky, party in one.
Sure.
What if your phone was dead and you had nothing to look at? And what if the restaurant had a policy that you could not bring
a book?
Maybe
I'd find
Now, why do you keep throwing these impossible variables in there?
What did you say in the first segment about taking a simple scenario and having this one turn it into
because
a story?
There is going to be absolutely no situation where you walk into the hotel restaurant and they look at you and go, give us the book. You cannot have book.
You must have the book.
No book, no food.
God.
You know, or,
no book for you.
That's right. You know, or, so would you go down to the restaurant if for some reason you had lost your shoes?
And it was on fire.
And you were only wearing your bathrobe and your phone didn't work. And the only thing you could read was the tag inside your bra. Would you still?
Yeah, wait, here's Carol.
Yeah, okay.
Go. Okay,
pumpkin. Oh, my gosh. What brought that up?
Because I heard earlier in the week there was a news segment about more and more people are choosing to dine out by themselves. And they like it.
Well, I'll tell you what. For the most part, and I'm sure you see this because you go out to dinner all the time, people who dine together are not really talking lately anyway.
Oh, and that really bugs me.
It does bug me. I don't know why. It shouldn't. It's their choice. But when I go to a restaurant and I just look around, and especially couples,
mm-hmm.
and nobody is eye-to-eye communicating. Not nobody, but most of them are looking
at their phone. That really irritates me.
Like, connect with people.
That's part of the reason why you're there. I mean, obviously, right. You're there for sustenance. But one of my favorite things to do is eavesdrop on other people's conversations.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
That's always fun. That's entertaining. But you got to act like you're not listening.
Well, that's why if you're sitting there by yourself, you bring a book. So now you've got that automatic I'm paying attention to something else thing going on where you're just got your ears open.
Here's the risk.
Carol's raising
that.
Her
Here's
hand.
The
yes, ma'am.
Flaw in that scenario. With her reputation for backwards, upside down clothing, she's going to be sitting there acting all cool with her reading glasses on, holding the book, and that thing's going to be upside down. And she's going to embarrass herself further. I know her. Am I right or am I right?
You could be right.
Yeah, you're probably right.
You could be right. All right. Well, I don't know. Is that about a wrap? What do you got over there, Frank?
I don't really have something. I just found a list of things that exist only to make people angry. Like,
wait.
Do you want Jonna to make that list for you?
Yeah. Recipe websites that have long personal stories and essays before they finally get to the recipe.
Yes.
Itchy tags on clothing.
Oh my god, yes.
Pop-up ads.
Oh.
Yeah.
Plastic packaging and you know that's impossible to open.
Oh man.
This one I love the very specific nature of this one cuz I know it cuz we have a lot of them around here. Long CVS receipts.
Yep.
No, right?
Yeah, it's like a tree. You get an entire tree's worth of paper in every CVS receipt.
Somebody on Twitter was making fun of those receipts.
Yeah. One ply toilet paper
should not even exist.
Okay, see there you go.
Not even ever make that. Seriously.
And this one is very appropriate for today because it happened at 2:00 this morning, changing the clocks to and from daylight saving time.
Oh, I ranted on that earlier this week. Yeah. I hate it. I am not. Are you guys a fallback or spring ahead? Like, what do you prefer?
I'd prefer if it didn't happen at all.
I know,
well,
but
the
it
fallback
does.
Fallback gives you an extra hour of sleep.
Well, yeah, I'll go with the extra
Don't
hour
take
of sleep.
That. I'm a fan of sleep.
Wait, let me just tell you what my argument is against that bogus argument. If you want an extra hour of sleep, put your head on a pillow, go to sleep for an hour. Take a damn nap. You don't need the clocks to turn back in order for that to happen. I want daylight. Practically 24/7.
Well, there are places you can go live where that can happen. You know that.
No, Alaska. And you know, Arizona does not change their clocks. Arizona and I think another state was like going to follow suit soon, but I can't remember.
Whatever started that?
Well, don't you hear talk all the time about the fact that they're going to end it and then it just keeps going?
Yeah. And then they kind of change when it happens. Didn't it used to happen earlier than November? Like it was October and April, like every 6 months? I don't know. Anyway, I don't like it. Now we're going to live in the dark.
Yes. For another 6 months.
But it'll be a little bit lighter when you get up in the morning.
No big D. deal.
All right. Well, listen, I think we will call this one a wrap. Ladies, thank you. And for all of you folks out there that may have missed it, this past Tuesday was National Cat Day. So if you did miss it, give your little one a hug. And we'll be back again this coming Sunday. 7 o'clock is when we do it here every Sunday, like I said, on K104. So we will talk to you then. Have a good week.
You just got mad at yourself. You're like, well, like I said, every Sunday.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. More life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview comes your way next Sunday at 7 a.m. to help you live better, stress less, and laugh more. Until then, catch this week's show and others at the Happy Hour link on K104online.com.